And it is Tuesday, Jake. It is show 709 for you and me, officially. Way to go.
Boy, thanks, man. Always been a dream.
And it's day two in a row, but it is now, out of those 709, 271 of those shows where we were both doing the program from high atop my garage, which is kind of attached to my house. Would you call this? No, it's not attached at all, right? It's just got a little walkway.
Yeah.
Non-attached garage.
Unattached.
Do not count this square footage in any literature where we're trying to sell the house. But it's kind of the feature of the house.
Yeah.
It's the best part of the house.
No, I'd love to see the look on every dude's face whenever their wife drags them to, we got to go look at another listing, and he's beaten. This place looks like all the rest. What?
When looking for a house, I was for an office above the garage. In fact, we very nearly bought Jerry Fraley's old house.
Whoa.
Jerry Fraley, the old Dallas Morning News writer, had a house in Grapevine.
Now, would you have gotten all of his Hawaiian shirts, or is that a...
Possibly. They had very little storage in the house, though. You got to look for storage as well. But he had a really cool above-the-garage apartment. Or thing.
I believe that.
The depth of the open today, a couple to highlight Blake with. We had the birthdays associated with a top news story of the day. So we had a Sagan birthday, which is today, but we were actually talking about the storm, a previous storm, and that's a top news story. Nolan locked in with a monkey. That's a top news story today, I hope, at the 1:30 news.
No, it's the entire segment.
And because it is Tuesday, and usually by this time of the week, we're out of stuff, we're out of topics, we need to send up the signal. And I don't know if he's there because I sent him a text and invited him to our Zoom so we could all look at each other. But this is a Tuesday, and it's when we look to see you next Tuesday with Gordon Keith. Gordon Keith, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on the Hang Zone.
Thank you.
Every Tuesday at this time, the greatest of all Gordos.
Hey, Gordon.
I want the ghost of Jerry Fraley to join us to talk about you walking through his house and saying that he didn't have enough storage for all of his Hawaiian shirts.
Well, he didn't have enough storage for all my stuff. Apparently, his storage was fine.
Wow, stuff bragging.
I got stuff.
Stuff,
man.
Shaming.
Where are we going to put the Christmas decorations? Ugh. See back there?
Did you talk to Jerry about his house, or you just happened to find out it was his
through
house?
A medium?
No, I'm talking about, I'm assuming that you looked at his house back when you, before you bought the one you're in now, right?
Yeah, this is many years ago, over a decade.
This is pre-death Jerry Fraley.
Oh, yeah. I was confused.
Yeah, it was life Jerry Fraley.
Did you talk to life Jerry Fraley about
it? Not about
it,
his
or
house,
you just
no.
were walking through there and noticed all the pictures of the guy in Hawaiian shirts, and you said, hey, I know that guy.
I think the realtor informed us. Like, that was a selling point.
Sure. Yeah.
Seems like a violation of realtor HIPAA laws or something like that.
Is it actually a law that you have to inform people if there was a murder in the property?
It's a law. You have to inform someone in Texas if someone died, yes, of a violent means in a house, or a sports writer had lived there at one point.
That's and an you can't say master bedroom.
No. And the good thing is as soon as we stopped saying master bedroom, housing inequality was fixed.
Right.
That
was the main problem
addressed
all these years.
You think it's an odd distinction?
Jake's making fun of progress. Okay.
Do you think it's an odd distinction that they make you disclose it only if it were violent?
Yeah. So apparently, if it is a not, we don't call it suicide anymore. What do you call it?
Suey.
If someone opts to enjoy unlivement, then you do not have to disclose that. It's only if someone was killed by another person of their non-choosing.
Well, see, that makes no sense to me, because I would think the suey, if you are a ghost person, way more likely.
Yeah, right. It's more
and
likely, but you don't have to report it.
Is the house so depressing that it might cause you to commit suicide?
Right.
Yeah, that's
what
a
I
good
know.
Point.
Yeah.
You should disclose that even more.
Like,
because
there's
a
open
chance
concept.
The house... Mm-hmm. They were tired of not being able to remove a load-bearing wall.
They couldn't cook and see the TV at the same time.
See, I think you should have to disclose to a potential buyer if you watched the 1998 film Happiness in the Home.
Well, now look at that segue. Lord. Look at
a
that
Tyler
segue. As that was a an assignment we had a couple weeks ago in this very space.
But then last week we had the guy that caught Dez's raccoon in his bathroom room.
Sometimes news breaks.
Sure.
And this is what live radio is all about. This is what you can't get on a podcast, right? Or your TV, right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Anyway, so that's why we had to...
Right.
Suicide.
Shift gears.
Right.
But yeah, so Gordon, this is a movie Gordon introduced to all of us at the ticket. Back in around 1999.
Well, I hate this being part of my legacy. Because I don't...
This isn't you anymore, is what you're saying. This is
I changed a lot in my movie recommendations in the last 5 years, and I don't think this show is respecting it.
Right. But you did and kind of sign off on Jake watching it and giving a review, right?
Yes, and Jake sent me a picture of showed his
I got to stop listening to Gordo in the morning because that's going to make me now not say right anymore, and I enjoy punctuating my sentences with that word.
Go on, Gordon.
Jake, you do it too, right?
Occasionally, yes, but it's nowhere near as annoying as it is with my daughter, who is 4, and she punctuates every single sentence with an, there's like an upward intonation of, right? Right?
Did you let her watch Happiness along with your son?
No, it was just my son. It was the first movie my son's watched with me.
And it's just, I hate that I will always know that bit of trivia.
He was awake, and the wife was still asleep, and I needed to watch the movie, so I put him on my lap, and I sent Gordon a picture of my cute little helmeted son watching Happiness with
me. Wow.
Yeah, this morning.
So sick.
There's not really any graphic scenes, for the most
part. That's true. And if he couldn't hear the dialogue, of course, he's not like he'd understand the dialogue, but you never want to take that chance, do you?
The Philip Seymour Hoffman scene is a little graphic.
Well, which one? The photo?
The one where he ends up sticking something to the wall.
That's it's a photo.
All right.
Yeah, his adhesive was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I feel like I deserve hazard pay for watching this in the morning. My day is ruined. My show performance today will probably suck. There is some comedic elements to it, though. There are some.
And this movie came out in when?
98.
The movie
and
Happiness.
Seymour Hoffman
what we're talking
is
about.
The most,
and with everybody snowed in, maybe this would be a perfect opportunity for you two to
gather around the fire.
Yeah, find happiness and just watch it with the family. The name of the movie is Happiness.
Yeah. What could
How
be wrong with that?
How could it be?
So among the many storylines we have here, it's one of these sort of movies where there are 6 or 7 storylines happening at once, but they're all somewhat adjacent and interconnected. And I was able to find comedic relief in most of them. And then when I would laugh, they would immediately go back to the storyline of the therapist pedophile father.
Mm.
Who is drugging and
spoiler alert
his son's friends at sleepovers. And then when he becomes aware that his son has a friend who is allowed to stay at home by himself while his parents are away, he gets a glimmer in his eye and immediately says he has to go to a meeting and drives right to the boy's house. That thread was disturbing enough.
Ronald Farber.
Ronald Farber, you remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it 2 weeks
ago. Is that the actor's name or the character's name?
No, that's the kid. The 11-year-old.
You haven't rewatched Gordon?
Like, no, I'm...
The 50 times in 1999 was enough?
I got a lifetime of viewing done in about 2.5 months. I don't have access to it. I did hear from one person who said they can get me a copy. I think it's the same person that provided you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
But he never sent it to me.
We're guys that would provide you a copy. You think we'd hold on to it and not give it to you? Come on.
I would feel weird asking you guys.
And just every interaction between the dad, the pedophile dad, and his son...
Mm.
His son, their first interaction is his son asking him what
just
Araculate is, but in a more street slang version.
The dad is very honest with his son. Like, that's the... Right? That's the point of this movie, is that it's very interesting that
the conversation,
the most honest person about life is the dad with the son.
Right. And he's the one who's... sick.
And you had, and
eventually,
had your
when his son
on your lap,
asked,
Jake?
Did you have sex with my friend? He said yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Let's dance around a little bit here.
That's the worst, obviously, the worst part of the movie, because the son.
That was the end.
Wants the approval of his. Well, not the very end. The very end involves a dog and a balcony.
Right. And dogs will lick anything.
I thought maybe canine stood for something else, too.
So
you like the final line of the movie, Jake?
When the son, who's been searching for climax the entire movie but can't figure out how to do it, proudly tells his aunts, grandparents, and mother.
Walks in on the dinner party, basically, the lunch or whatever.
I seed.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends. No, but the son is seeking his father's approval so much that when his father tells him, yes, I in fact did have sex with two of your friends.
Hey!
And his son says, would you do it again? And he says, yes.
Oh,
his
my.
Son says, would you do it with me? And he says,
okay,
no.
All right.
No. And then has another line, but that's what bummed the son out, is that he realized that Johnny and Ronald were
Let's
more
talk about a different movie.
Desirable than him.
It's...
Ugh.
How did that thing ever get green-lighted?
But, see, this is the thing, though, Gordon. I know you like to start a fire and then back away. But it is a...
It's what he does.
It's a deep-thinking movie. The point is that nobody's really happy.
Right. The lady who has it all really
the lady who has it all gets...
Life.
Yeah.
The lady who's famous is tired of it and knows
she's a
fraud.
The one who got famous for writing about being abused as a child is upset she didn't get abused as a child.
Right.
Because she's a fraud. You know, maybe Vlad is the only happy one. Is he the Russian guy that...
Yeah, but he's beating on his Russian girlfriend who wants to be his wife.
Yeah. So, you know, who's the guy that... The opening scene?
John Lovitz?
John Lovitz. Yeah, he clearly wasn't happy because he committed suicide.
He gets broken up with in the opening scene, and he works with this other main character, and they're friendly. And so she's crying at work about his suicide, and people are asking her what's wrong, because she's the one who broke up with him. And literally no one in the office remembers that he even worked there.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But the
like,
guy...
Was he the tall, handsome Latino man? And it's like, no, he was a little more of a square.
The doctor seemed to have it all, because he had the wife and the kids and the perfect, but you
nice
know,
job, house.
She wouldn't have sex with him anymore, right?
And, yeah.
Of course, he was buying boys' magazines, like boys, you know, teenage magazines like, that teenage girls would buy,
like Tiger Beat.
Yeah,
yeah.
With your boy bands or whatever pictures in it, and he would buy those and hop out into the back seat of his car in a parking lot and hammer away.
Yeah. And Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is a sexual deviant, to put it lightly.
Oh, that's deviant?
He has
I like his telephone questions, though.
Yeah. And I've actually never thought about that if you did that so hard, it would leave your body in other places. like a dam springing a leak.
Hmm.
But he has his standards set way too high, and once he finally lowers them and seems to share an attraction with Cameron Manheim, she tells him that the doorman at their apartment paid her, and she cut him up, and he's in her freezer.
Right, so and she's not like, happy either.
And he's like, that's this too is weird for even me.
The doorman wasn't happy. She's not happy. He's not happy. No one's happy.
The senior citizens, except the grandparents who get divorced. Yeah, the kid's happy at the end.
Oh, yeah, the grandparents who get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so, yeah, so if you're into deep thinking movies, I think this is perfect for everyone.
At some point, I stopped watching movies like this. And I don't know if it was first kid. It might have been a little bit before that, trying to have kids. But I just show me Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch movies like this all the time. And maybe I was pretending to be smart. And now I'm just like, just blow something up and put The Rock in it.
Well, the rest of America is kind of with you. What are blockbusters?
Yeah.
Like, was this a...
No.
The summer hit of 1999?
No. No, I don't think it was. Well,
so how much did you know about it, Jake, before you started watching it? Like, did you read a summary of it?
No, I did not want to. I knew the phrase, "Oh, Billy," and I got up like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme off my couch when the dad first said it to the son. Oh, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big moment. And I knew that there was bodily fluids used as adhesives at some point. And both those two things happened in about the first 15 minutes. So from there, I was flying blind and shocked at every turn.
What was your most tense moment when you're watching? Like, are you just really creeped out or cringed out?
The most tense moment is when the therapist, the rapist dad, and he has his son.
Wow, is that something intended? Therapist is the rapist, and he is.
I don't know if the Sean Connery Jeopardy bit had hit yet. I don't know. But when his son has a sleepover,
deep,
and his dad is super excited about it, and the dad is in the kitchen making ice cream sundaes for everyone, but he's cracking open pills and pouring them into the chocolate sauce before he puts them onto
let's talk about Rock movies. Nah, let's move on to the Rock.
He takes him into the living room where his wife is with his smallest child, and then his son or his friend are playing video games, and he presents the ice cream, and his son says, "Oh, Dad, you didn't know Johnny hates fudge." And he's like, "What else can I get you?" And he says, "I'm not hungry." He says, "Do you have anything to drink? I like grape high C." And he looks at his wife and says, "Do we have any?" And she says, "No." He says, "I'll go to the store."
Yeah, it's like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And then he's like, "That's no big deal." He's like, "Could I interest you in a sandwich?" "Yeah, I like tuna fish." And he hurriedly goes back to the kitchen and whips up a tuna fish sandwich, breaks another pill open on that, takes it back to the kid who's now in there by himself and is just sweating bullets waiting for the kid to eat the sandwich. And it takes
a long
time.
The rest of the family is already all passed out.
Yeah, because they've all been drugged.
It's too dark. Yeah. It's too dark. The movie's too dark. And the thing is that guy is like a noted director, right? What's his name? He did Welcome to the Dollhouse, I think, too.
Oh, did he?
And something with the name Stories in it. No,
or
no, the director.
Director. Okay.
And he may have written it, too.
He did write it. His name, I cannot... Todd Solondz?
Todd Stoltz or something?
Todd Solondz, yeah. Anyways.
There's this week's movie review.
Yeah, maybe next time we'll talk to a guy who catches vermin and lightens food.
It's the movie that no one should watch, but I'm glad that you watched it, Jake, just because Dan and I had to offload it to somebody.
Thank you. Yeah. So like a chain email. Now I have to...
It's one of those deals, like I had to do with Dan. I saw it, and I couldn't take the tenseness of it, so I had to rope Dan into watching it.
And the dog...
And now we've passed it to you.
The dog cleans up
And now
up
you have to
the,
pass it on.
The Chisholm Trail, and then goes and kisses the mom right after.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gordon Keith.
Distance.
Play the thing again. Play the thing again. But there you go.
Yeah.
Snow day.
Happiness. You gonna go make a snowman?
Yeah, and I'm gonna break up a pill and put it in the snowman.
And that is CNN Tuesday. So Gordon, we'll see you next Tuesday. Okay.
See you next Tuesday, boys. Later.
In Phoenix.
I'm not going. Thanks.
Oh, all right.
You just reminded him the Super Bowl was next week.
That's right. This is The Ticket.